That's all it is. It's a memory, something that is not happening now. It happened a long time ago. You judged it bad. You can call it back, and you feel bad again. You have the same feeling, and maybe even a worse one than you did the time it happened. And we spend our time thinking about those kind of things. Did you ever have a good day thinking about resentments? Ain't no sunshine for resentments, I'll tell you that. We ought to write a country western song about that one, I'll tell you that. But you think about the past. And in the future, you're worried about something that's going to happen. It's not happening now. It's going to happen soon. Well, we don't know for sure how quick it's going to be, but it may be real soon. It could happen tomorrow. It could be happening right now and we don't know it. Let's look around. It's going to be bad. It's even going to be worse than that. I told them about my cuticle cancer. I can get a cuticle. Kind of red, sore. It's been there. How long has it been? 3 days? 4 days? Isn't that longer than usually you have a cuticle that's irritated? I wonder if I have cancer of the cuticle. So I wind up, I'm in the doctor's office, and I'm telling him, see, it's right there, doctor. You got to look closely now, because that's where I think I have cuticle cancer. And our relationships, our sexual relationships. Can you think of a place in your life that is more self-centered than your sexual relationships? Can you think of a species that's ever God ever created that screwed up sex as much as we have? We wonder, do we get enough of it, the right kind of it, with the right kind of partners, doing the right kind of things, having the right kind of equipment, enough of the right kind of equipment, located in the right place? And we don't handle it well. We've got a series of questions we ask about that. And you begin to find that your life was dominated by this thing called self-centeredness, over which you have absolutely no control. No more control than you did over alcoholism. It keeps cropping up. You think you got it here and you got it isolated, and you turn around and it pops up over here. And we spend the rest of our lives doing all we can to get rid of it, which is find it, tell somebody about it, find out what you appreciate it, understand it as best you can, analyze it, tell somebody about it, try to clean up the mess that it's made, and go on with your life. That's what happens. I did all those things. Billy and I stayed together. Our children began to understand that Daddy had a problem with alcohol. It was called a disease. They didn't understand much about that, and they damn sure didn't ask me a lot of questions, because I wasn't a guy you asked very many questions. I was a Jekyll and Hyde in that house, you know. I was the guy that you come home and were laughing and joking with them 1 minute, sat down in that chair and begin to remember a resentment. And they walk in and ask me a question, and I go off like Mount Vesuvius. What the hell do you mean? That bothered me. I don't know what you did at school. I don't care what you did at school. And they don't know what's wrong with Daddy and why Daddy reacts that way. So they decide they'll leave Daddy alone. That's the safe thing to do. And we damage people with that. Al-Anon is a marvelous, marvelous program. Every drunk damages at least 4 other people, maybe more. And they're just as sick as we are in their own way. Can you imagine what it's like to live with us? 1 minute we're up, next minute we're down. We start a big fight, have a blackout, can't even remember the damn fight. Walk in and give my wife a big kiss in the morning, say, how are you, darling? She wonders, where's this guy? What happened to the guy that was calling me a bitch last night? Drive you crazy trying to figure it out. They do a good job. My wife came to Al-Anon a year and a half before I got here, and I'm very glad she did. Very glad she did. She was not permitted to go to my group or around my group for quite a while because I didn't want her poisoning the well, but I ultimately got enough sobriety one day. I told her, driving around, that I'd kept count and that I had now been in more meetings, or as many meetings as she had been in, and I did not wish for her to sponsor me any further. She didn't need to nudge me at meetings or anything else, just leave me alone. It's a wonderful life that we lead here. It's a great experience. The book says something like that we're going to have a new life. We'll see people get well. We'll see them helping other people. We'll have a host of friends. It says you will not want to miss this experience. It adds purpose and meaning to a life that has been absolutely meaningless and without purpose. We're able to reach and help people that no one else in the world can help. And it just got to make us feel good about what our life is. I heard a story one time about an old man who went to a secondhand store and bought a fiddle. And the fiddle had one string on it and an old rusty bow, an old sad, old ragged bow. And he would sit in his chair and put his finger at one place on that fiddle and just saw it back and forth, playing that same note over and over and over again. And his wife finally came out and she said, George, for God's sake, quit playing that note. Look at how other people play the fiddle. They move their hands up and down and make different sounds with it. And he said, yep, they're looking for it, but I found it. I was looking for it, and I found it. And I pray, God, that you have too. Thank you.